Thank you, Tapestry and Jeanette. You know, that passage that they were singing about, Matthew 6:33, has such a special meaning to me. It was at a time in my life, in my early 20s, when I was really going through, I was a Christian, but I was going through just a really rough time. I look back on it now, it wasn't so rough, but it was to me then. And I needed some answers, and I had a good friend, a mentor of mine, who he and his wife had gone to Colombia to be missionaries, and we would write letters. That was back before the internet and, you know, free long distance call, whatever. But so we wrote letters, and I explained to him my plight and what I was going through, and he sent me back a very short letter that he would be praying for me. And he loved me, and he gave me that verse, Matthew 6:33. He said, "Bobby, read this verse every day, pray over it, and let God speak to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that I was worried about, God will take care of." Many times we try to do the things that only God can do. God only asks us to do what we can do. And what we can do is seek him first in his righteousness. And if we do that, he'll do the things that we really need that are impossible for us to do. And he did in my life. And I know you've already found that out too, that he'll do that for you. Well, this morning we're not preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Unfortunately, I love that whole thing. And, you know, that's one of my favorite things. But we're in John chapter 12 today, verses 1 through 8. And we're going to talk about worship. I guess you kind of caught on to the theme of the music part of our worship today. And it's all about the love of God and, you know, how we experience that love of God and how we reciprocate the love that God gives us through worshiping him. And John chapter 12 verses 1 through 8, that's all about that. Last week we ended in chapter 11 of John looking at the Lazarus and his resurrection from the dead. And we saw that really important passage there that's probably one of the most meaningful passages, if not the most, in the whole Word of God. And that is where Jesus, as he was confronted by the two sisters, Mary and Martha, and both said to him, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." And even in death, Jesus looked at them and said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Though a man die, yet shall he live again." Really, really important theological theme there. So, after the funeral, after the weeping, Lazarus is raised from the dead. And in chapter 12, what we have today to look at is a dinner, supper, dinner, whatever you want to call it, that was hosted by Mary, Martha, and Lazarus as a thank you to Jesus for raising Lazarus from the dead. And in this thank you dinner, you know, I think it's great to have dinners and suppers and breakfasts and anything. I mean, that's a great way to say thank you. You can do that for me anytime you want to. But anyway, it's a good thing to do. But what we're going to see here this morning is the gratitude of this family. And they're going to express their gratitude. And that's what worship really is, our gratitude to God for what he has done for us and who he is. They're going to express their gratitude in three different ways. And these three different ways that they express their worship are the three ways that we do it too. You'll see what I mean when we get to it. And any of these three, or all three of these, are very acceptable to God. If they're done in the right motive, with the right heart, as we'll see, it was through these three people. We can learn something this morning. So let's look at verses 1 and 2 and our first point here. We're going to start off with Martha. Then 6 days before the Passover, you know what, just to give you the time frame, this is not just any Passover. This is 6 days. This is a week away from the big one, the Passover that Jesus goes to, where he is arrested, tried, and crucified. Okay? So 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead. Let's make sure we understand that. He had been dead for how long? 4 days. So he was, I guess you would say, really dead. He makes a point here. The one who was dead, whom he had raised from that dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him, that is, being Jesus. So, Martha is in charge here, so we're going to look at her first. So on your, in your fill in the blanks there in your bulletin, Martha expressed worship through service. This is what she knew. This was the way she was turned. Martha was a very task-oriented person. And so she served. That's what she did. Now, earlier, she gets a bad rap in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. This is what I alluded to last week. This is where Jesus was also at their home. And Martha was in the kitchen. I love it. There's an old song about Martha rattling pots and pans, you know. And I can see her coming out with flour all over, you know, her face and just in a tizzy. And she's distracted and her attitude is really bad. And she gets all over her sister because she's not doing anything. I don't know if y'all have ever been there. You ever been around someone who says, well, I don't know why I have to do everything. Nobody else is doing anything. You ever been there? Well, that's the way Martha was. God bless her. Her attitude stunk that day. And Jesus knew it. Martha didn't at the time. But you know, something transpired from that supper to this one. And the difference, I think, had a lot to do with Martha going through that whole grief experience with her brother Lazarus. You know, we learn a lot during the dark times of life. You ever notice that? During times of sorrow and grief and sicknesses and just devastation in our lives, we learn a lot more, seems like, about ourselves and about others and about God and about situations than we do when the sun shines out and everything is going just really peachy keen, you know. I don't know what it is about that, but I guess those dark times in life force us, because we're emotional creatures and we have such heightened emotions during those times, and it hurts so badly that we look for something to help relieve the pain. Some people look for it in medicating themselves in a lot of different ways, but you know, the truth of the matter is the best source to deal with our pain is to run to the Lord. To run to Him and to ask Him to help and to beg for His grace and for His presence in our lives. And when we do that and we're willing to settle down and be patient and wait, even in the midst of what hurts so badly, and we turn to His Word, then we do learn the truth. And the Scripture says it's that truth that sets us free. It focuses us and it turns us in the right direction. And we grow during those dark times in our lives. And I think that's what happened to Martha. Because you see, during the First Supper, she was so distracted. She was not focused on Jesus and Him even being there. She was more focused on what she was cooking and how it was going to turn out and that everybody was happy. And I think all of us know that when somebody is focusing on everybody being happy, nobody's happy. You ever notice that? Martha learned so much. But you see, this time, as we see what she does here, it says that there they made him a supper and Martha served. There's so much in those two words. Martha served. I think if she'd been distracted again, I think if she'd had a sour attitude, we would have probably heard about it. But there was nothing there. She just served. So sometimes in Scripture, the absence of what is said speaks as loudly as what is said. And in this instance, I really believe that when it said that she served with a right attitude. and a grateful spirit. Because you see, not only was her brother alive, but she really got her mind and heart around the truth of who Jesus was. And she was grateful. And that comes out here. I've watched so many of you serve, and I have seen this played out. I have, in the years since I've been here, I've watched you, and you know, with the good attitudes in which you serve. There's no greater incongruency than to say, I'm serving Jesus, but have a really bad attitude. You can't really serve Jesus with a bad attitude, can you? No, not really. It kind of becomes null and void. Serving Jesus, the attitude is just as important in here as what you do out here. And when you get the two together, wow, you got a good marriage. That's a wonderful thing. And that's what Jesus wants. That's all he wants from any of us. You know? I can preach, which I don't know if I'm capable, but I can think I can preach one of the best messages that you'll ever hear preached, but if I preach it with a sour attitude, it may come, you know, it's going to come over like that. But if my attitude is right, you know, I could really preach anything and it'd be a really dog sermon, but it would be okay. See? Well, enough about that. That's Mary. I mean, Martha. Martha expressed her worship through service. And if you express your worship to God through service, kudos to you. Wonderful thing. Great thing. We should do that. But keep in mind, when we serve, the attitude needs to be in line with what we're doing. Secondly, let's look at verses 3 through 8. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. By the way, this stuff comes from India, and it's really, really expensive. What she had was a bottle of this, you know, she could have collected it over time. I don't know if you could really go out and afford to buy one of these, but she collected it over time. And it was a bottle of this stuff that was really sweet, expensive smelling perfume. And it cost, we don't really know how to put a dollar amount on it, but it cost about 300 denarii back in the day. A denarii is about a year's, well, about a day's wage for anybody back then. So 300 of them would be pretty close to a year's salary for any one person. Expensive stuff, you know, think about it. But look what she did with it. Then Mary took that pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. There's always got to be a wet blanket in the crowd, isn't it? Verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, what was his job with the disciples? What did he do? Treasurer. No offense to any budget or finance committee people, okay? No. I'm not going there. I'm just saying that's what he did. So he was focused on the money. Simon's son, who would betray him, said, by the way, they were in his daddy's home, Simon's son, they were there. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? You think he really meant that? You think he'd really do that? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money. Isn't it amazing how the scripture reveals the heart of somebody here? Had the money box and he used to take what was put in. In other words, he was embezzling the whole time himself. How about that? But Jesus said, leave her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you will have with you always, but me you do not have with you always. Now, Martha served. Mary's whole demeanor, her whole act of worship took on a different type of, it was a different type of animal from Martha's.
And probably when the meal was over, or close to the end, this is when Mary did this. She goes and she gets this pound of ointment, this oil in this bottle, and she comes and her heart's overflowing with love for Jesus and gratitude for what he's done for her in her life and for her brother. And she takes it and she breaks it and she pours it all over him, all over his feet. Waste almost a whole year's wages. It's gone. And wipes his feet with hair. I want you to notice there are three things about this act of worship. She expressed her worship through giving. Notice how she gave. Really important here. First of all, Mary's worship was spontaneous. It was spontaneous. Spontaneity. You know what that is. You just like, you just do something. You don't plan it. You don't have to sit down and think about it a long time. It just kind of happens. And you know, sometimes the best worship and the best things that happens in your life are spontaneous. They just happen. Call it serendipitous or providential or whatever you want to, but it just happens there. So this is what she did. Now, this is all contrary to the customs of the day. Even during this dinner at this guy's house, Simon, these women would not have been at the table. Okay, they would have eaten, I'm sorry ladies, but they would have eaten somewhere else. In the house, but they wouldn't have been there at the table. But here comes Mary. That's a song. But here comes Mary, and she's got this ointment, and she just comes right on in, just barges right on in, lets her hair down, does the unthinkable in the culture, pours it all over his feet, and begins to wipe his feet with her hair. You see, spontaneity. She's caught up in the moment. She's caught up in worship. Have you ever been caught up in worship? I mean, have you ever had that experience where you just like forgot what was going on around you and just got so focused on the Lord that you just got caught up in it? And it was just spontaneous and you just, you know, and for some reason you just really didn't care what anybody thought or what was going on. You see, in corporate worship, a lot of times what we do is we're so conscious of our surroundings that we can't focus on God. You ever notice that? I mean, we don't mean to be, but we just are. We get, you know, distracted, but there were other people there. And she broke all the rules that day. But she did it. It was spontaneous. It was great. Secondly, her worship was sacrificial. I've already told you this, but I think about how much it cost. But I think she probably read the Old Testament, maybe 2 Samuel 24:24, and she agreed with David. You remember what David said about worship and about sacrifice? He said, "I will not offer to God that which cost me nothing." So is worship, is giving in worship really worship if it doesn't cost you anything? Is it? As I said a minute ago, we can't put an exact dollar amount on this. But I tell you what, is there any of us on a one-time deal willing to just be spontaneous and give almost a year's salary and put it in the offering plate? Think about it. Well, that's what she did. She just like, because she was so focused on the Lord. And with all of that, I guess she figured, you know, if he can raise a dead man, he could provide for me. It gets back to that Matthew 6:23 things. She was seeking first, really, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And she was depending on God for all the rest. Boy, she put it out there, you know. She really did. You know, I got to thinking about this, and there are churches all over the world literally meeting today at the same time we are. They're everywhere. There's hundreds of them in Huntsville alone, but think about all over the world. And I wonder how many, and I'm not judging and I'm not trying to be ugly about this, but I wonder how many of them are really worshiping. And let's just bring it on down to the microcosm. I wonder how many people in those churches are really worshiping. You ever thought about that? Who is genuinely worshiping? I mean, is it like, you know, maybe somebody on the back row, one person, or somebody in the, you know, maybe one or two people in the choir? I'm not talking about y'all, but I mean, you know, who's worshiping? We don't know. We can't tell. Only God knows our hearts. We don't know. But how many people in the churches that are worshiping today leave church and go home disappointed? Because they got nothing out of it. They received nothing from God. They weren't changed. Well, you know, they have good reasons. I mean, maybe, Steve, it's because you didn't do your job. You didn't lead us right today. Or maybe it's my job. You didn't preach the right sermon today, Bobby. It stunk. It, you know, you didn't holler enough. You weren't loud enough. You know what? You know, maybe it was tapestry. Maybe they hit a sour note. Or John, maybe it was your offertory. Or Dwayne, you're, you know, who knows? Maybe it was the horns. You came in, you shouldn't have done that. I don't know. But you see, what is it that keeps us from worshiping and we leave here empty? What is it? I think we all know what it is. And I'm not going to dance around the elephant in the room. It's us. It's you. It's me. It's my fault when I leave here and I don't worship. Because I didn't prepare myself before I came. You know, I asked the Lord this morning driving here. And I do that every Sunday morning or whenever I preach. I say, Lord, you know, I know I'm handling something very holy. I'm very much aware of that. I know I like to have fun and I joke around and stuff, but don't get me wrong. I take this book very seriously. And I said, Lord, I need to be forgiven for my sins. Just like the high priest would do that every time before he would enter the Holy of Holies. If he didn't, he was struck dead. I need my heart cleansed. I need to be focused on you. I need to preach this morning. I need to meet people with the right attitude. I'm in need of the grace of God so I can give the grace of God to others. And God, I only want to speak the words that will benefit your congregation and your church the most. That's what I prayed coming here. So, I know from experience. You say, how can you preach and worship? Well, I do. I worship during the song service. Now, it's taken me years to get there. When I was a younger preacher, I was too worried about what I was going to preach to worship. True confession, really. I was too worried about, will I get all the words right? Will I say the right things right? And that's what I was focused on before I got up here to preach. You see, Matthew 6:33 had not done a deep enough work in me yet. And I'm not saying I don't worry a little bit about what I say. But I don't think about it nearly as much now as I did. Because worshiping is more important at the time. And when I preach, I worship. You know. Well, you get the picture. Martha served. But she found a good attitude. Mary gave. But she was also criticized. That's C. Her worship was criticized. Her best critic was Judas. Well, we had a lot to be thankful for, didn't he? Yeah. Well, you know, and why do we criticize people anyway? Why would we criticize people in worship anyway? I'll tell you why. Do you know what a religious fanatic is? I heard this years ago. Anybody know what the... Do you know what a religious fanatic is? A religious fanatic is anybody that loves Jesus more than you. It really, think about it. I mean, you see people that, whoo, you know, and do stuff. Well, that's just the way they worship. And who knows? They may love Jesus just a little bit more than you do, because he might want you to go, whoo. But no, really, we criticize people because either we don't understand them, they're different from us, or in worship, really, we're afraid that they may be expressing a worship that's deeper, that they may love Jesus a little bit more than us, and it makes us feel very uncomfortable. Well, here we go. She felt very, Judas felt very, very uncomfortable here, okay? Very uncomfortable. And he begins to criticize her. And I mean, you know, all this sounds so pious. You know, lady, you come in here and you waste almost a year's worth of money on the feet of a man when we could have taken this and sold it and helped the poor. Little bubble addendum over here. The Holy Spirit says, come on, Judas. You don't care about the poor. You would have taken that money and went out and bought you a new Ferrari or something. Come on. I know what's in your heart. And, you know, he did prove what was in his heart later. Jesus took up for her, though, didn't he? He said, leave this woman alone. And in Matthew 26, in verse 13, one of the greatest things that could be said about anybody was this. Assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial unto her. I wonder what was put on Mary. You know, that's her memorial. I wonder what was put on her tombstone. You know, she was a great worshiper. I don't know, but something like that. That's what she was known for. That's what Jesus put out there and said, remember her for what she's done today. It's wonderful. So she expressed her worship through giving. Mary expressed her worship through service. Now the last one, let's get on to the brother. Not much is said about him. And by the way, Lazarus never says anything in Scripture. I don't know if you realize that or not. Very important person. He never says anything. But there's a lot said about him, which somebody told me years ago, Bobby, if you have to toot your own horn, then there ain't much to be said about you. But if other people toot their horns about you, then that's not bad. Well, that's what happened with him. Look at verses 9 through 11. Now, a great many of the Jews knew that he, that is Jesus, was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see. This is a sideshow. I mean, people wanted to see the guy that, you know, hurry, 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 come and see the man that was raised from the dead. You know, that's what people wanted to see, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Wow. So here are the church people. Here are the religious people. They come. They see Lazarus. They hear about it. And what do the, you know, this was the beginning of the end for Jesus right here. This is what sealed it for him. The scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees heard about his resurrection of Lazarus. They came by and saw him alive, and they said, oh, we got to put this guy to death. Do you see the irony there? Human beings are going to put the I am, the resurrection, and the life to death? That is so stupid. But that's what they did. So that was Jesus' undoing. That was the miracle that put him under right there. So the religious people sought to kill him, but many of the Jews did what? Believed because of whom? Lazarus. Wow. So Lazarus expressed his worship through his testimony. We're not told what he said, but we're told a lot about what he didn't say and who he was. So, great change in Lazarus. I don't know what he was like before the resurrection, but, you know, Think about it. If you're one way before you die, and you die, and then all of a sudden you're snatched from the grave and you're alive again, and you get to see the person who raised you from the dead, don't you think you'd be a little different? I went out to eat the Cracker Barrel last night, Rain and me, and I was talking with the guy. I was paying the bill, and I was talking with him, and I don't know how it came up, but he told me a story. He said, did you see on TV this guy? He was a car thief. Some of you might have said, I don't know when he saw this or whatever, but it was quite a story. He said there was a guy, and he's trying to get in this lady's car, and she's in the car, and he's trying to break out the window to get in the car, and all of a sudden lightning strikes him. Yeah, lightning strikes him, and he's like, ugh, out on the pavement. Now, you'd think, wouldn't you, if you're trying to break into a car and steal it, and maybe do harm to a woman that's driving the car, and lightning strikes you, even if you were an atheist, wouldn't you believe that there's something cosmic going on, that there might be a God that's like disapproving of what you're doing? Wouldn't you get a clue if it didn't kill you? Well, it didn't kill him. You know what he did? He hits the pavement. He convulses for a couple of minutes. He gets right back up, and he's trying to break in the car again. And you know, you've heard the cliche, lightning never strikes twice in the same. Well, it did that day. It struck him again. And then that was the end of the story. I wonder what he did the second time. He might have not have made it the second. He might not have made it that time. But I say that, what would you do if you're out here and you die? I mean, and then wherever you end up, and then all of a sudden you're snatched out of that, or you're brought here and you're given a second chance. Even simple logic would, to my simple mind, would say I'd probably try to live a whole lot differently. Don't know much about Lazarus, but we know his sister Martha had probably a bad attitude at one time. She got changed. We know Mary had it closer to right, but she was really changed after this whole thing. So however Lazarus was before, he must have been really different afterwards, because he had quite a testimony. You see, he was a great witness, and it wasn't necessarily what he said, but what he did that made the difference. And I don't know what his testimony was, but I have a sneaky feeling that if someone asked him, what has changed your life, he would have probably said something like this: I was dead, but now, because of Jesus, I live. Wouldn't that be a pretty powerful testimony? To die and to come back and give witness to the one who brought you out. Wow. Well, here we go. Conclusion. We got three different ways that three different people worshiped, that showed their gratitude to God for what he did in their lives. Martha expressed her worship through service. Mary expressed her worship through giving. Lazarus expressed his worship through his testimony. Each is valid. Each is acceptable. All three are great. And more than likely, we all express our worship to God through one, two, or all three of these ways. Do you see that? Sure. But now let's do a little meddling, okay? Just for the sake of, let me do my job. I got to meddle a little bit, okay? So, serving God and expressing your service and worship is wonderful. It's great. But keep in mind, if you're going to do that, what has to be right? Attitude. Attitude needs to be congruent with service. You can't go around bad mouthing and all complaining and, you know, moaning and all this kind of stuff and serve. It just doesn't smell right, okay? It's just not right. You got to get it together. If you're going to serve, get the attitude up there with it too. Be grateful. It's a wonderful day to serve. All right, what about giving? Well, giving is also an acceptable way to worship. But think about our giving, you know. And I'm just going to be silly here, but, you know, I don't know your means to give. I don't know. But I got a sneaky feeling putting a quarter or a dollar in the offering plate when you have a lot more to give, probably not real worship, okay? If that's all you got, you know, there was a lady that did that one time in Scripture, that widow that had two mites, and she put that in the offering plate, and you know, all those other rich people were throwing stuff in the coffers in the temple, and Jesus says she's given more than any one of them, because even though it sounded different, it didn't sound like a denarii, it didn't sound like, you know, but you see, that's all she had. So what I'm getting at here is sacrifice. And remember what David said? A sacrifice, a worship that costs me nothing is not really a worship, is it? Think about it. When we give, what does it cost us? Someone said one time, the way you can tell if giving like money costs you is after you give, and this is old school, I know, but after you give, what's the balance in your checkbook? See? What you got when you left over when you give? And then the last thing is what Lazarus did. He expressed his worship through testimony. Okay, I can tell you all day long that I'm a Christian and that I love Jesus. And you can too. But if our actions don't, once again, measure up to what we're saying, see what I mean? We got to practice what we preach. It's better if we preach what we practice. See? It's great to be a witness. But you've known people like this, and I have too. They'll go and witness and whatever, but they don't live it. They like to talk, but they don't have the walk. So, this is the invitation. These three things that we've talked about this morning, these three expressions of worship, serving with the right attitude, giving, which brings about sacrifice, witnessing, which brings about living it. This is only made possible by the love of God. It's only made possible with Jesus in your life. It's only made possible, we've come full circle, if we do what Tapestry sang about earlier. It's only possible if we seek Him first and His kingdom and His righteousness. See, if we do that, then we will serve with a godly attitude. We will give sacrificially, and we will testify, and our words and our walk will be congruent. And it's all made possible by God in His love. Let's stand together and bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, You have blessed this congregation in so many ways. You blessed us with dedicated servants and people who witness and people who give. And we thank You for that. And Father, hopefully this message is just one where everybody could say amen. And thank You just for reminding us, Brother Bobby, from God's Word, the people that we are and that we need to continue to be. But Father, there may be somebody out there that this was news to them. There may be somebody out there that wants this, but they don't have it because they don't know You. We pray this morning, Father, for anyone who, under the sound of my voice this morning, that doesn't know You as a personal Savior, that they would come today, come forward and say, Bobby, I need Jesus. And then for the rest of us, God, may what has been said be just a reminder of the ways, the many different diverse ways that we can worship you and our worship be accepted by you. Thank you, God, for loving this congregation, and for making a way for us to live productive Christian lives and someday at the end of the road to go to be with you forever in heaven. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Steve's going to lead us in our hymn of invitation. And as he does, if you have a need in your life, you know what to do. Ask Jesus to meet that need. He'll do it. Let's say you found out this morning the reason that, you know, my worship just hadn't been what it should be for a while, and maybe you've figured it out. Well, it was me. Not me, but you. Okay? Could be me, but it... Or if you don't know Jesus in a personal way, please, please, see me now, see me after, but let's get that right today. God loves you, and He only wants the best for you. So let's give Him our best. Let's do it now as we sing.